You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com. Welcome to Episode 8 of the world-famous Red Leg Nation Radio Podcast. I'm your host for this thrill ride. My name is Chad Dotson of RedLegNation.com. I'm here at Red Leg Nation World Headquarters. Joining me tonight by telephone are two of my fellow editors here at Red Leg Nation, Bill Lack and Chris Garber. You guys ready to roll?
Let's go.
Do it.
All right. Bill, we'll start with you. Topic number one here. The Reds are, I guess we're about a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. Any thoughts on the team that's in place right now at this moment?
I think the first question is this team any better than the team that finished, you know, the team that ended 08? I think that's a big question, and personally, I don't think they're much better.
Yep. I agree. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I've got the same fear. I think they've really made no significant additions, and they're counting on certain players who had exceptional years last year to do it again, especially in the pitching staff. So a lot of things have to go right, and there's not a whole lot of the people who can play significantly better than they did last year. I guess maybe Brandon Phillips and Encarnacion may take a step, but they haven't done a whole lot yet to get better.
I agree with that. I think maybe Joey Votto might take a step forward, and Jay Bruce, if we're lucky as well. But lost a lot in terms of offense, and I'm not sure how they're
going to. And haven't added much.
Exactly. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? We have fast Willie Taveras.
Yeah, we do.
And we have what's left of Ramon Hernandez behind the plate, too.
Exactly. Yeah, what are you talking about, Bill? They've added a lot of offense.
Yeah, and you know, we may only go with two catchers this year.
No, it's impossible.
That can't be done.
No. There's some.
Isn't that a league rule that you have to carry three catchers?
It's an organizational bylaw, at least, or something. I don't know. I don't know what we'll do without three catchers. I've never heard of anything like that.
Seriously, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that the pitching staff as a whole is going to improve. I expect Harang to recover some. I expect Arroyo to be up and down like he always is, and I expect Cueto to be better. But I don't expect Volquez to duplicate his year he had last year. And you do, you know, you expect the number five starter to be better than the schmoes that they ran out there last year.
Yeah,
Chris?
Whether that's Homer Bailey or someone else, you got to kind of be a little bit better. I think that this organization may be a little faster to pull the plug on a really flailing fifth starter more than they were in the past. I think Kripke wasn't bad about that. I think the O'Brien era, you saw too much rope being given. Maybe it's because the worst players then were guys like Eric Milton who were making the most money. But they've been pretty decent, I thought, about getting, you know, not running a guy out there for the 7 or 8 ERA for too awful long.
Yeah, and they've got a lot more choices for that 5 spot, too, now.
Yeah, who do we think are the options for that fifth spot? I don't know that the fifth spot on the Reds is the most important spot in baseball to be considering now, but does Homer Bailey have the inside track on that?
My guess would be Micah Owings might have that inside track.
That's
just a guess.
Still think it would be Bailey because of the money. I mean, he's a number one draft pick, and they get a lot of rope.
Now that's absolutely true. I don't know. Owings, you'd think they really only thing they got, unless they decide to carry Wilkin Castillo or whatever his name was from the Dunn trade. But other than that, Owings is really the only thing out of that Dunn trade. I would think they might give him a little bit of rope early on to see if he could be that guy. But maybe he should be the left fielder. I don't know.
Better thought than some of the other ones I'm hearing.
The other thing that I've heard batted around, and I'm not convinced the Reds would be willing to do this at this point, would be using Bailey in a relief role.
I'm all for it.
Well, I've certainly talked about that for years, that the Reds should consider more of the Earl Weaver strategy of developing young pitchers out of the bullpen first, but it may be a little bit late for poor Homer on that one.
Yeah, that's something they really should have done, if not this 2008, this past year, definitely the year before, they should have really started thinking about that. Well, the Reds don't do very well thinking outside the box. I think we've all seen that. But
yeah. Or thinking more than one step ahead seems to be a difficulty, too.
Exactly. Well, I kind of agree. I think that, you know, if you're wanting to be optimistic, I think the pitching, there's a chance the pitching could be on the whole better. I don't know about the bullpen, but the starting pitching, I can't expect Volquez to repeat what he did, but you expect him to be pretty good, and I wouldn't be surprised to see steps forward by the fifth spot, whoever that's going to be, and by Harang and Cueto. Arroyo is he's Arroyo, I guess. He eats innings.
Yeah, he's going to be up and down. You're going to have 10 good, you know, you'll get 10 good starts from him and probably 5 horrendous starts and 5 decent starts.
Yeah, it's about
that. Yeah, I think that.
Go ahead.
I think they should have tried to trade Arroyo when his value's at the highest. And I don't know if that's today, but it might be pretty close to today. I think he's a guy who, you know, if he lines those 10 really good starts up at the right time, could make a real difference coming down the playoff stretch or in the postseason for a team. And I think that some teams see that value there. And, you know, I think he's one of the few pieces that the Reds can trade. And when you look down the road, I think he's got 3 years more on his contract counting this one?
I think so.
At pretty significant money. That's going to be a contract you're going to want to be out from under in 2011. So.
Yeah, I think he should be at the top of the list of players the Reds should consider as trade bait. I wouldn't have any problem at all with Arroyo being there.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about having some depth in the starting youth. You know, the Maloney's and the Bailey's and the Thompson's and the Owings.
Absolutely. Can we close the book on the Jimmy Haynes era then of Reds having zero starting pitchers?
It seems like it right now. I mean, and we've spent, 5 minutes here talking about pitching, and I think we'd all agree that the problems this team are going to have are probably not going to come from the pitching staff.
I agree. That ought to be, you would think, a strength. Although I do want to note that I'm really disappointed in all three of us that we've mentioned Eric Milton and Jimmy Haynes now already.
No, you have mentioned Eric Milton and Jimmy Haynes.
No, I don't think that's true. I'll have to check the tape on that one. Well, what's going to be bad on this team? The offense is liable to be no better than they were last year. The defense, has it improved any? Walt Jocketty acts like it has.
Yeah. That's been amazing to me is how and more than one person is on the blogs and on the lists and has talked about how the defense is going to be their byword. And I don't see it. I mean, no matter who you play at shortstop, you've got a recovering Gonzalez, you got Hairston, you got Kepinger. Unless they keep Yanish, who can't hit, you know, you got problems at shortstop. You got a catcher coming off a horrible year. Tavares has had 2 bad years in defense and, you know, playing 2 bad years in a row. We don't even know who the left fielder is going to be. I don't see how the defense is any better.
I think the real problem is that in Walt Jocketty's mind, if a guy can't hit, that means he must be able to play good defense. So he just went out and found a bunch of guys who can't hit. Ergo, we're going to have a better defensive club. And I don't know that it works that way.
Well, it's a strategy, if nothing else. He's got some kind of a strategy.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Bill's right. I think Hernandez is a question mark. I remember him in San Diego from when I lived there. And he was a decent catcher. He wasn't quite as good as he was advertised for coming from Oakland. And he's now, 4 or 5 years older than that. Shortstop, those guys are, unless you go with Jonas, who can't hit a lick, like Bill said, there's not a lot of good options unless Gonzalez turns, you know, is healthy, which is questionable. And I don't know that he was that great to begin with. He was better with the bat, but worse with the glove than he was advertised, I think, when we signed him. And, you know, Tavares is an interesting question. I think the metrics show him as being having 2 terrible years in Oakland, in Colorado, but they don't fit with the rest of his career. And that park being so strange and so big, I haven't looked into it enough to know if those numbers are just skewed by the ballpark or not.
Yeah, I think that's another area. If you want to be try to be optimistic here, they are the numbers are a little bit strange defensively with respect to Tavares. The last 2 years being out of line with what he did when he was with Houston. So I guess that's something you could chalk up into the column if you're trying to be optimistic that might improve and might not we might not be as bad out there as we've been.
Yeah, I still kind of question the defensive ratings to begin with. I don't understand them completely. I readily admit that, but they just seem awfully gray and open to interpretation to me.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I don't dispute the idea that they should be trying to get better at defense because, you know, Tampa was an example I think we talked about back in the summer, and then, you know, everybody and their brother talked about them once they went to the World Series. But that was a big part of their improvement over 2007, 2008 was the better job they did at turning batted balls into outs. And the defensive metrics aren't perfect, and they are hard to understand, but I think if you look at just such a baseline number as in batted balls put into outs, I think that's probably fair. And as a team especially, they did a lot better job at that. So if the Reds could find a way to do that, and usually defense is cheaper than offense, but you know, I think that they may have swung too far in that direction, or they had a problem where the only guys that played good defense couldn't hit, and then they just kind of went farther down that path. So now we've got a team with maybe three decent hitters, four decent hitters, and only one of them is a really good really good defender, and that's Brandon Phillips.
I think I'm going to jump off the bridge tonight. Just thinking about that.
Everybody wants to compare their team to Tampa Bay at this point when they're struggling the way the Reds have, and Chris just did it, and I'm wondering, you know, is it a fair comparison? They play in different kinds of ballparks, you know. What is it now? It's not the Tropicana Field anymore, whatever it is where Tampa plays now. Is that an offensive ballpark like Great American? Is it a bigger ballpark? I don't know that much about that ballpark.
I know I went to a game there. It's like watching a baseball game in a shopping mall. It was fantastic. It's me and 30 or 40 of my closest friends. It was just wonderful. About five or six years ago.
I think the real key for the Reds to emulate Tampa Bay is they got to find someone to trade a Scott Kazmir for the equivalent of Victor Zambrano.
Right.
When you can pull off that kind of deal, then you're on the way to a championship.
I don't know if I'm going to count on Walt Jocket to do that. Maybe he will. I don't know. I can't remember who was. That was after. I don't know if Steve Phillips was the GM in the mess when that happened or not. But
I think it was Steve Phillips.
Yeah. So.
And then that's, you know, of course, to bring it back to the Reds, we can all remember how we passed on Scott Kazmir to take the immortal Chris Brewer.
Oh. What if we had Scott Kazmir now and Tim Lincecum? We could have passed on him as well. Could have both those guys right now in our starting protection. What if? How about this? If Tavares does improve defensively, but his on-base percentage is .308 again and slugging is .296 again over 500 at-bats, how big a black hole is that going to be, especially if Dusty Baker leads him off?
Well, I think a better question is, will Baker do the same thing again that he did last year with Patterson? You know, will he give him that much rope? You know, at some point last year, you know, Baker even cut off Patterson and moved in another direction. Now, injuries kind of forced him to move back. But, you know, the problem, I think, with the two guys, you know, that we've been talking about, Hernandez and Tavares, is with the money they're making, are they going to be sat no matter how bad they play? You know, can Hannigan beat out Hernandez? Is there any way that he's going to get more playing time no matter how well they play? And the same thing in center field.
I think they're great questions, and I don't know the answer.
If I want to be optimistic, the only thing I can say is, unlike Patterson and unlike Paul Bacco, those two guys don't have a pass with Dusty Baker.
True.
And, you know, there's money involved. But, you know, Baker did cut bait on Patterson pretty quickly yesterday. I mean, he got sent down in May, I think. And as you said, the injuries to various outfielders, you couldn't keep a good man down. But, I don't know. Tavares is in the field every day. He's got a two-year contract, and he's going to be playing every day. I can see Hannigan beating out Hernandez, but I honestly can't see Hannigan hitting well enough to beat out Hernandez.
But and Hernandez is making more money than Tavares.
Yeah, the Reds didn't sign that contract. I think that's a little bit of the difference.
That's true.
And I don't I don't think he's under contract for more than this year, but I could be wrong on that.
Is it 1 year? I was thinking it was a two.
It might be. I don't know. I see that more like Real Cormier than Mike Stanton, if you want to put him in the pantheon of bad contracts.
Oh, gosh. Oh, now down to Cormier and Stanton. I mean, goodness. Who's next?
I can't get away from it. I promised myself I wouldn't mention Jimmy Anderson, but there it is.
Oh, no. Maybe we should just cut bait now and call it a wrap.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in terms of Tavares, you know, if he's batting eighth, I think you're right. He's probably going to be out there every day. They just signed him to a 2-year deal. He's going to be there. If he's hitting eighth, I'm probably not going to complain as much, especially if his defense is improved. I don't expect Hannigan to, no matter what he does, I'd be very surprised if he's able to rest the majority of at bats away at the catcher position. To shift gears a little bit, move left, Bill, I think you had a post at Red Leg Nation about some rumors regarding Luis Gonzalez.
But hang on a minute. Before we move away from that,
sure.
My question is this. How many guys can we hit eighth?
That's a good question.
Seriously.
We got about three or four that should hit there.
Exactly. I mean,
yeah. Well, this is what I said to a friend of mine in San Diego before last season, that the Padres had all number six and number eight hitters. And you saw how their season turned out, and I feel like we're in the same position.
Well,
I feel like, you know,
go
a
ahead.
Couple guys you could justify betting in five or the two hole, but we don't really have a true number three or a true number four yet. Certainly not a true leadoff man. And then nobody that I'd like to bet second. So
yeah.
a lot of similar guys with similar holes in their games, I guess, on this team.
I agree.
But we've got Micah Owings, so whenever he's pitching, we can let him bat, you know, fifth or something. Some of these guys, Tavares can bat ninth.
Bat him eighth. Bat him eighth.
There you go. That'll be perfect. Be beautiful. Okay. Bill, about those Luis Gonzalez rumors, what do you think?
You know, initially I threw up in my mouth a little bit when I read that. But I went and looked at his numbers a little bit more, and you know, if they were gonna sign him to be a fourth outfielder or something for a low price contract, a 1-year deal or something, I'm not sure I'd have a problem with it. I mean, he had an OPS plus of 111 last year. Now it was only 136 games, but you know, are we gonna get that out of some of these other? Are we gonna get that out of Chris Dickerson? Are we gonna get that out of Tavares? Are we gonna get it out of Hopper?
I want the 2001 Luis Gonzalez with that. That's the one I want.
Well, let's bring Eric Davis out of retirement, you know.
Well, I just look at Gonzalez, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, Bill. And I think, if he puts up a 770 OPS, and I looked at his splits, and he really, he had a really hard time against left-hand pitchers. You protect him even a little bit more than the Marlins did. You may bump those numbers up a little bit. Well, I guess my question is, does it help the Reds as an organization to have Luis Gonzalez in left field this year? Because we know it's only a 1-year deal at the most. And is it better to give him those at-bats or just give him to Chris Dickerson and let everyone figure out if he's going to be able to play at the major league level and what he's got? I mean, I'm not under any illusion that this team is going to compete in 2009. With the Cubs adding Milton Bradley and really not losing anyone other than Kerry Wood, the Cardinals should probably be good. Same with the Brewers. I don't think the Reds are going to be able to hang in this division. I'd just assume we not fool around very much with veteran presence in 2009 and just try to sort things out for 2010.
But he's a professional hitter. He's a veteran. Come on.
I know. I need to listen to the Hot Stove League a little bit more.
Yeah. What would Tracy Jones think about you guys? I'm embarrassed for the Red Leg Nation.
But I do agree with you, Chris. I mean, if you're going to go young, go young. If Stubbs is ready halfway through the year, or Dorn, or who knows, Frazier maybe if they decide to. If I was Frazier, I'd be begging the Reds to play me in the outfield. Who knows when these guys are going to be ready, and if you're paying a Gonzalez money, are you going to cut him so that you can bring one of these guys up? I don't know if the Reds would do that. They haven't shown a propensity to do that in the past.
And I think Chris has got a good point in that Luis Gonzalez is not going to be a part of the next Reds, you know, winning team. Chris Dickerson might, whether it's as a fourth outfielder or even as a platoon starter, anything. There's a chance that he could. Throw him out there. Let's see. If we don't have any better options, throw him out there and let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and, you know, getting back to what we talked about first, I think if you do that, that makes it much more sensible to trade a guy like Arroyo away. The guy who's got a couple more years left on his contract, is getting a little older, is probably not going to be that good. And you know, get something else for him.
And I think there's only, I mean, if we're talking about trades, there's only two guys right now that I think are guys that you want to look at trading. I think Arroyo's one, and I think Phillips is the other. Maybe Harang. You know, I would hate to see Harang go, but those are the only two guys that aren't real, real young that would bring anything.
Yeah, and in terms of value and really that the Reds could afford to trade, I'm with you on either one of those. Although I don't want to see Harango necessarily. He's been a part of some rough teams and been the anchor of them. I'd like to see him be around when the Reds are good, but that's just sort of selfishly my thoughts on it. And with Phillips, you know, you talk about an outcry if he's traded though. I don't know how he's become so popular, and he's a good little player. I like Brandon Phillips, but I just don't understand why he is considered to be as good as everybody seems to think he is. I mean, he's good, but he's not great.
That blows my mind. I think more than the bigger mystery than anything I've seen with the Reds in a long time from a fan popularity standpoint. A guy like Friel, a guy like Sean Casey, that made sense, but. But Brandon Phillips, he got a little bit of a hot dog in him. He hasn't been a part of a successful team, and he hasn't really put up incredible numbers on an individual level. But somehow he's mesmerized the local media and the fans into anointing him as the face of the organization. And I just don't get it. And from what I've heard, he's not the easiest guy to deal with for the media anyway. So I don't understand what kind of spell he's cast on him, but. Like you said, Chad, he's a good player, but he's certainly not on the untouchables list if I'm running the team.
Yeah, well, someone told me this is maybe something to throw into the mix. Someone with the Reds last summer told me that the organization absolutely loves the guy because anything they ask him to do for the Reds Community Fund or marketing, anything, he never says no. He says yes to absolutely everything they ask. So maybe that's part of the reason why he's being pushed as the face of the organization a little bit.
Yeah, that's the Casey School of Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're running a business, which baseball is, that's a consideration. I don't deny that they need to have someone who can help them market their product. But from a strictly baseball standpoint, good but not great is my conclusion on him.
And that actually brings me to something that really sort of I don't like to discuss it on the blogs these days because you just get chewed on by everybody, but. How much more valuable is Brandon Phillips if you shift him over to shortstop? Or is he more valuable?
Considering the setup of the Reds roster as it is, I think he's definitely more valuable. And it's one of the mysteries of the last few years why that's taboo. I think a guy like Jeff Kepinger could be a regular second baseman in the major leagues and could be a pretty decent one, especially when he's cheap. But he can't play shortstop. And he can't be an efficient third baseman either. So you slide Phillips over, maybe he's a good instead of a good shortstop instead of a great second baseman defensively, but you strengthen your team, I think, significantly if you make that switch.
I think that's the key right there. I don't necessarily agree it makes him a more valuable player because he's still the same player whether he's playing shortstop or second base, but it makes the team better. And isn't that what the point is supposed to be?
Well,
and I don't know where.
Go ahead.
I don't know where to point the finger on that. I've never heard anything that said Brandon Phillips is unwilling to play short. I've never heard of a guy who didn't want to play shortstop, and a player who didn't want to play shortstop. But it's something in the organization that's just never even been tried, at least in a game.
And maybe Phillips doesn't want to make that move. We don't know that. I know that he's talked many times about how he idolized Barry Larkin. Growing up, so you'd think he might be interested in doing that. Although he's not going to, be able to be the next Barry Larkin. There won't be another one of those maybe, but I agree. I think he helps the team, and I think it's a natural. You mentioned Kepinger. The guy just showed last year, you know, I just don't think he can hold the day-to-day duties at shortstop, but that guy could be a major league second baseman. He's as good as maybe half the second baseman that are out there already playing in this league.
Yeah, I looked at his numbers compared to Mark Grudzielanek, who is another guy who came up as a shortstop and moved over to second pretty early in his career. And they're really very similar. And Grudzielanek, you know, had a much longer career, I think, than anyone would have expected back in 1993 or 1994. And he's still kicking around. And Kepinger could have a pretty similar career path, I think, if he got the chance to play second.
Yeah, it's another one of those guys that come into the wrong situation, end up not really having as much of a career as they could. Somebody else of equal or lesser talent that just happened to be in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah, and it looked like Cincinnati was that spot in time for Kepinger. I mean, this is, I think, his third or his fourth organization in a pretty short time frame. And he really doesn't do anything but get on base when he's healthy. And I just don't think shortstop's the place for him. What was really telling about the Phillips situation is last year, when all the shortstops started getting hurt, they played Jerry Hairston there, who, if I recall correctly, had never played short in the major leagues before that day. And, you know, it was before they had a chance to get Yanish up here as even an emergency shortstop, they didn't consider moving Phillips over there, which I thought, you know, if there's ever going to be a time where you can justify moving a guy around, even on a short-term basis, I thought that was it, and they decided not to do it then. So, and we all saw what Hairston was like, and he looked like a guy who'd never played shortstop before.
Yeah, going back to Kepinger for a minute, how much of a chance do you think he's going to be given this year, considering his struggles in the second half last year? I mean, he really struggled after the All-Star break last year.
I don't think he's going to get much of a chance at all, barring injuries, to be honest with you. I think that if they're looking for another shortstop, it's going to be Hairston the first option. Of course, Hairston gets hurt every other day, so maybe that he will get to play there. You know, Encarnacion has been hurt a little bit. He might get to play some at third, but maybe you guys disagree, but I'm not sure. Kepinger, I think his window may have unfortunately closed with this organization.
Unless they play Hairston in left field. I mean, we've still got we've still got a big hole in left field, too.
Ugh. Yeah, I don't want to think about that. I don't know. I think I have to think Kepinger is hurt because, I didn't get on the bandwagon in 07 when everyone was in love with him. I did think he was a pretty good player, and I thought the slugging percentage wasn't going to be repeated, but he has, you know, I think he's had a 370 or more on base basically at every level every season other than last year, so I think that's real. I think he'll be able to do that.
I do too.
As simple as he comes out in spring training and smokes the ball for 3 weeks and reminds everybody of that, and they find a place to put him in. Especially when you're dealing with Hairston, Alex Gonzalez, there are going to be injuries. He's going to get a chance to get in the lineup somewhere, I think.
I just hope he takes advantage of it. I think he's going to have to.
Yeah. And you know, if they find themselves in a spot where he really doesn't have a job, he's a guy you could trade too. He's young enough that he could slide into a starting spot or be a super sub for the right organization.
He'd be a good part of a package.
I think he could be a very valuable player for a good organization in the right spot. I really do. He's not going to ever be a world beater defensively, but the guy can hit. He's always hit.
He's the kind of guy like St. Louis always seems to find.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And St. Louis is, you know.
They win every year.
They win, and maybe Walt can bring his magic over from St. Louis, but I got my fingers crossed. But one last question. If Chris Dickerson does get a lot of playing time, is he going to be the second coming, or is he going to be Chris Steins? What do you think?
I think he's going to be a lot closer to his minor league numbers than what we saw last year. I mean, he was unconscious when he was up here, you know, late in the season, and he's just not that player. I think he's the guy that the Reds saw for years in the minor leagues. You know, I think he was having a career year last year. He had a good, you know, he had a real good year at Louisville before he got called up, and then just even got better when he came to the Reds. But I don't think that's the player he is.
You know, I agree with that. I really like Chris Dickerson as a guy and as a player, but I don't think he's going to, you know, slug over 500 like I think he did last year. That was a a hot streak. But I do think he's in his prime age-wise. He's got a chance to put together 3 or 4 years where he's an effective, you know, I'd say a fringe starter, maybe to a little bit better than that. So right now that's probably the best thing the Reds have. I think if I was forced to start the season today and you put me in charge of the Reds, that's probably who'd be starting left field for me, at least until he proved that he couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think that over the next few years he could be a valuable member of this organization. Just he's not the player that a lot of the guys that want to call into WLW want to say that he is. And every time somebody has a good September, it reminds me of Chris Steins every time. Everybody thinks he's just the next superstar. And I'm afraid that Chris Dickerson is going to disappoint some people if he doesn't live up to that, when that's not the player he is. But the player that he is going to be for the next few years can be one that can really help this team.
Yeah, I think he's another fourth outfielder. You know, I wish he was right-handed, because somebody like he and Dorn would be a great platoon.
Yeah,
the problem is, but I'm looking at his numbers here now, and he had an 863 OPS at Louisville before he got called up last year, and he's never had anything close. Well, he had an 858 OPS in college, but nothing else even close to that. I mean, he's a guy that's going to be in the 700s, and you hope he plays good defense and steals you a few bases and gets on base, and I think that's about what you can expect out of him.
I don't know about the defense. You got a really small sample size, and it's just my observations from watching television. But he made a few bungles out there in left field that really surprised me, given his reputation.
Yeah, he also had a couple of boneheaded mistakes on the base paths last year in September, if you remember.
Yeah. Again, not matching up with what was kind of promised. We were promised a guy who didn't hit that great, but played smart ball and played good defense, and he kind of turned everything on its head.
Small sample size.
Yeah, 31. I mean, he played 31 games with the Reds last year, so,
I agree with what both of you all are saying. I guess if we go into the opening day with the roster we currently have, throw Dickerson out there, see what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is in the outfield right now is you've got one guy that you're comfortable with as a starter. The rest of the guys the rest of the outfielders on the 40, man, are all platoon guys or fillers.
And that one guy's played, 100 games in the major leagues?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, mercy.
But I mean, I watched Jay Bruce at Dayton, and I saw him in Sarasota. And I've been watching baseball for 50 years. Well, not 50 years. I've been watching baseball for 40 years. And I've never seen the ball rocket off a bat like it comes off the bat of Jay Bruce. The ball just rockets off his bat. He is going to be as good as he's been touted. I have absolutely no doubt about that.
And if there's one thing that really to look forward to watch to on this team, for me, that's it, watching that kid develop. So that'll be fun to watch. Guys, we've kind of gone a little bit longer than we wanted to. Anything? Any last thoughts? Bill, you first?
No, I mean, just like you said, the thing – I don't think any of us expect the Reds to be successful in 2009. And you hope that the people that come to the ballpark and the people like us that follow the team realize that the joy is going to come out of watching the young players develop. You know, the Bruces and the Vadas and the Volquezes and the Cuetos and whoever else ends up coming up this year, whether we see the Dorns or the Renickies or whoever else it might be. They're going to have to cut their teeth, and there's going to be some growing pains, but the fun is going to be watching to see how good they can be.
I agree, Chris.
I agree with that. I'm having a hard time getting excited for this season, but if there's going to be anything, that's it. The youth in this team they've got some talent that we haven't seen in probably 10 years. I would say young talent, a collection of it, and I'm interested to see how it pans out. I'm not looking forward to having to sift through Willie Taveras and Ramon Hernandez and some of the other direct on the roster to watch it. So
I guess we just
the summer will be shorter than I'm imagining right now.
Just keep reminding yourself, there's a real chance this team could be really taking a step forward in 2010 at least. So there's something out there, hopefully. There's a lot possibly at the end of this tunnel, although we've thought that before. All right, guys. Well, appreciate you joining us, joining me here tonight on the podcast. And Bill, I think let me just go ahead and let you. You've got a couple interviews coming up. I think you've got set up. You want to tell us about those?
Yeah, we're doing an interview shortly with Matt Klinker before he heads south for the for spring training, and shortly after that, we're going to talk to Logan Parker. So our two spotlight players that we haven't heard from lately, we're going to get a chance to sit down and talk with for a few minutes.
Fantastic! They're good kids. I'm really impressed with all the guys that have joined us as spotlight players. Just outstanding, outstanding young men representing this organization.
You know, before we close up real quick, that's something I want to talk about just for a second is these kids, and I've met now, you know, probably five or six of the kids that have been wanting to be associating with us on this Spotlight Player Program, from Bo Lanier to Russell Haldewanger, who got traded for Jeff Kepinger, to Thomas Pauley, to Logan Parker, to Matt Klinker, to Tyler Stovall. Every one of them has been a quality kid, just the nicest people in the world. And you just, if you root for them as much as baseball players as you do as people, that you just hope that they're successful because they're such really classy people.
Yeah, they are. They're just, I've been continually impressed with all of them. I'm also impressed with you, Chris, being able to get home with all that snow tonight. You sure you're safe and sound, buried?
I'm inside. I'm looking out. I've got to get the snowblower out and probably get about 6 or 8 inches off the driveway so I can go to work tomorrow.
Fun. Work's not so much fun, but let it snow. All right, guys, thanks a lot. Thanks to everyone out there listening. If you've got any questions or comments or suggestions, just shoot me an email at chad@redlegnation.com. Thanks for joining us here in Red Leg Nation on the Red Leg Nation Radio Podcast.